Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out roaming around the campus of Georgia Tech this week, and we're going to send it out to him in just a moment. But first, I wanted to speak to those of you who might be listening to Witness Wednesday for the first time. Maybe this is your first experience with Wretched Radio or Witness Wednesday, and I want to explain a little bit about what you're going to hear today. Every Wednesday, Todd gets out of the studio, and he's usually on a college campus somewhere, and he's talking with students with the ultimate goal, obviously, of sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to eavesdrop on those conversations, and doing so helps us to evaluate and judge Todd. That's number one. But also, it allows us to evaluate our own evangelism tactics and techniques, because we learn through someone else's conversations. You know, what did he do right? What did he do wrong? What should he have pressed on a little more or not as much? That's the purpose of Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And with that, let's get out to the campus now. Todd is on the campus again of Georgia Tech.
There's a kid. Okay. I don't want to stereotype, but this guy looks like a Georgia Tech. If you wanted to find a poster boy for Georgia Tech, this would be the kid right here. He's got himself kind of a brainiac haircut, maybe a pocket protector. Hey, young man, while you're walking, can I talk to you on the radio?
No.
No, you're not up for that, huh?
No, sorry.
All right, dude, carry on. All right, this guy. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I ask you some questions on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? Are you done with classes?
Nope.
No? Honest?
I got one more test left.
Which one?
DSP.
Ah,
digital
DSP.
Signal processing.
You didn't have to tell him. I look stupid? What is it?
Digital signal processing.
Help me out. What does it mean?
It's analyzing sinusoids and stuff like that, like in voice and different things that can be applied to many different fields.
All right, I'm just going to bang my head against a wall. What's a sinusoid?
Sine wave, like from zero to pi, and it repeats itself. And
you want to know how dumb I am? As if I haven't already demonstrated it. I don't think I can remember. Pi is 22.14 something? 3.14, that's it. Wow, this isn't humiliating. That's right, 3.14, and then it goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
Into infinity.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's an unreal.
All right.
Irrational number. There we go.
I'm guessing right now, you, along with everybody who's listening, thinks I'm just a complete idiot, right?
Probably.
All right, fair enough. But you know what? I think that's good, though. There's guys like you who think the way you think. I think in a different way, and then the whole world gets along.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jesus Christ, man.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I'm the man.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is the Lord.
I see. And you're sure of that? You're talking now with your sinusoids. What are they called?
Sinusoids.
Yeah, they went to the other end of the spectrum. You said that with certainty.
Yeah.
All right. Prove to me that Jesus is Lord.
Well, I mean, it's something that I've experienced personally.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily something, it's not hard, easy to explain. But I've experienced the Lord working in my life in very real ways. I mean, He's brought me through many hard times in my life. Brought me out of a dark place.
So that would be an anecdote. But if I could go find a Hindu who said the same thing about their little idol that's sitting up on their mantle. So I've got a Christian who says that their idol worked, and a Hindu who says their idol worked. Why should I go for your idol?
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that Jesus Christ is either the Savior of the world or the greatest liar on earth. Because He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Are you saying then that the Hindu's idol is wrong?
Yes, I am.
Just like that?
Yeah.
So the majority of people in the world, you believe, are wrong.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, they can probably find some truths within there, but all truth comes from God.
Okay.
So,
all right. I want to give you 30 seconds. Give me your best shot. Convert me. Go.
Well, man, put me on the spot there. But,
dude, I'm kind of enjoying this because ever since there's got to be something in math that's a 22 something. What am I confusing pi? What's a 20? Isn't there some number that is meaningful at 22?
I know the gold ratio is pretty close to there.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay, go ahead, convert me.
Well, what? This is really kind of sad, but I
dude,
mean,
I said pi was 22. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
But because the, I mean, the one thing I just experience it so personally myself, and I would want you to experience it. So
experience what?
Just the fullness of life within God.
My life's full, dude.
I mean, but there has to be some, like, everybody, like, struggles with something in their life. I mean.
Nope. Doing good. Kids are healthy.
Yeah.
Yep. Wife's terrific. Paying the taxes. Life is good.
Yeah. So you don't see any need for any kind of God?
No.
No? Well, so, all right. I mean, what are your moral scale? What is your moral scale? How do you scale your,
I'm not in jail.
Yeah. So it's basically based on deeds or like, is it based on the law?
Sure. Or just general societal norms of morality. I haven't murdered anybody. Haven't stolen anything. You know, good person.
Okay. But for me, like a good person, they still can't get into heaven. Or do you believe in heaven and hell? That's a good question to start off with.
Oh, wait a second. Why wouldn't a good person go to heaven?
Because the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
But why? I'm a good person.
Because even though you're a good person, you have slipped up before.
I've slipped up before. What
slipped up before.
And
with sin. I mean, have you ever gone through the different Ten Commandments?
Go ahead and use them on me.
I mean, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I mean, have you ever done that ever before?
Good question. Yes.
So with that sin, you become separated from God.
Okay.
And the only way to get back together to God is through Jesus Christ.
What if I give some money to charity?
There's some people that believe that. And that's more of Jehovah Witness and stuff like that. I mean, there's different people that do believe that, but I don't believe that because that's not biblically what's true. And I believe in the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says is true.
All right. Let me share something with you. What's your first name?
I'm Rex.
Rex, it's nice to meet you. King Rex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex, when you got to that law part, rock on. See, a lot of people are going to go to school here, and they're going to graduate, and they're going to get great jobs, and they're going to get huge homes and fancy cars. And they're going to have absolutely no need for God. But when you hit on that law business, that Ten Commandment thing, dude, you found the sweet spot. Because our need isn't a fulfilled life. Our need is forgiveness. That's right. What everybody's lacking. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So use that law, dude. That was excellent. So the next time somebody says, well, why do I name Jesus? Or you're trying to witness to somebody, you don't need to be accusatory. You can actually just open up the law and use it like a mirror to hold it up to somebody's faith because we all think we're good.
Right.
And we're self-righteous and arrogant. I'm not as bad as, well, that slug across the street there.
Definitely.
But when you compare people to God's standard, then they can go, okay, I get it. Hell becomes reasonable. And then the sacrifice of Jesus is suddenly esteemed and appreciated because God died for sinners.
Right.
So ask people questions like you did. Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you looked with lust? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It gets every guy just in big trouble. Okay? Now, if God judged you, what would he give you? Heaven or hell?
Right.
And suddenly it becomes kind of reasonable, and then you can explain good news. God will send you to hell because he's just, but he wants to save you, and he sent his son Jesus to keep all the laws that you broke, and he kept them all. rose from the dead, defeated death, and now you must repent and put your trust in him, and he'll adopt you as his child, and he'll grant you everlasting life based on what Jesus did, not you.
Right.
So, dude, you got there. Use that law when somebody asks you for the hope that lies within you, what the reason is.
Right.
Because you got a savior from sins, not a life enhancer. It's sweet with Jesus. I'm a Christian, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Okay?
It is the abundant life. But people don't need a high. They need forgiveness.
Okay.
And they need to be reconciled to God and restored in their relationship to him. So focus not on the effects of the gospel, but the gospel itself. We get love, joy, peace, patience, etc.
Right.
But that's not the gospel. That's the result of the gospel.
Okay.
The heart of it is sinners saved by Jesus. Yeah. Dude, nice to meet you, Rex.
Good to meet you, too.
All right, man. See you. Goodbye.
See you.
Thanks for making me look like a dope. I appreciate it very much.
A lot of evangelism begins with a simple question, and the conversation will take a natural progression. We've got more Witness Wednesday from the campus of Georgia Tech next on Wretched Radio. You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. All four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. FortisPlus.org. Be honest. When's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified Too, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one. Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to FortisPlus.org. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and the tall guy, he's out on the campus of Georgia Tech today. You know, I know we tend to assume that some people don't want to discuss spiritual things, and sometimes that's true, but a lot of times, especially on a college campus, people are willing to talk if somebody's willing to listen.
Hey, young man, could I ask you where you're going right now?
Going to work.
You're going to work. How far do you have to walk?
I guess about a mile down to my
Perfect.
Car.
That's great. Could I talk to you on the radio while we're walking together on your way to work?
Sure.
Now, you gotta promise me something, though. What do you bench these days?
Not that much.
Come on. Much. Oh, don't be all humble. What do you bench? Okay, it's your max. What were you putting up?
The max I've ever done is 315.
Okay, so you could basically put me into a pretzel shape right now, right? Did you study any, like, jiu-jitsu or karate?
I've done a couple months of jiu-jitsu and a little Muay Thai. But that's
all right, now they teach you not to use it on people unnecessarily, right?
Well, no, mine was MMA fighting.
What is that?
It's a mixed martial arts.
Oh, that's the nasty stuff in the cage.
Exactly.
Dude, you're one of those?
No, I wasn't good at it. That's why I stopped.
Did you get beat up a lot?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you got to tell me. How much does it hurt? How much does it hurt in the ring? While you're doing it, does it hurt?
Yes, it hurts.
Okay,
you don't notice it as much just because you have so much adrenaline going.
But right.
The next day when you wake up the following morning, yeah.
You know what? Can you tell me what is the nastiest punch? What hurts the most?
The worst punch that I've ever gotten was just one of the side jaw. I didn't see it coming. Is when I first began. It was right underneath my ear.
Takes you out every time.
And it was terrible the way it twists your jaw and all that.
Yeah, but see, I've learned that when you get hit underneath the ear like that, there's something going on in your brain. It just drops you every single time. Now, here's the punch that really hurts a lot while you're in the ring. You ever been hit in the kidneys?
Yes.
That hurts.
Yes.
All right, now promise me you're not going to hit me in the kidneys, okay?
I promise you.
All right, tell me, young man, what do you believe about the afterlife?
The afterlife.
Yeah, what happens to somebody when they die?
Well, I believe that you're either heaven or hell, going to heaven or hell. And it's only through Jesus, through his forgiveness, that you can get... That's what I believe.
So you're telling me that anybody who's not a Christian is going to hell?
Yes.
No, I want to hurt you. Very intolerant.
Not necessarily Christian, but those who don't believe in Jesus. It is highly intolerable, but... Then again, it's not my decision, I guess.
Okay, so why do people go to hell, in your Christian opinion?
Well, everyone is born with sin.
You're calling me a sinner?
Absolutely.
Wow, how do you know?
Well, I'm Catholic. Everyone's a sinner.
I see. Okay, so what if I'm not Catholic? Am I still a sinner?
You're a sinner.
Okay, so then tell me, my Catholic friend, if I'm a sinner, what do I need to do to go to heaven?
Ask Jesus for forgiveness through him, that you can be forgiven of your sins. Now, this is actually where I'm working on this. It's hard, just my beliefs in general, because does that mean you have to ask for forgiveness right before you die? Is that way you're completely clear of sin and then you go to heaven? Or
did you go to Catholic church all your life?
I have. I went to Catholic school, elementary school. Moved to Saudi Arabia for a bit, and then came back and went to a Christian school.
All right. Let me ask you, what's your first name?
Sean.
Sean, could we stop underneath this tree for just a second?
Okay.
I don't want to make you late for work. All right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, okay, we'll go quick. There's a big difference between Catholicism, and you're kind of getting there and hinting, and Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on to the issue. Here's what Roman Catholicism teaches. That you somehow become a Christian. That can happen through your baptism, or you can believe in Jesus and then get baptized, and then you spend the rest of your days trying to do good works. Mm-hmm. And if you die without having committed a mortal sin, by getting last rites, and if you will being perfect, then you'll go directly to heaven. If not, you go to purgatory, where you work off your sins so that you can ultimately go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's not necessarily directly mentioned in the Bible. I mean, it's hinted, I guess.
I agree it's not mentioned in the Bible, but that's the difference between what would be considered biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism, which combines the Bible and tradition and councils. Okay, now what I just described for you, this maybe sounds a little severe, but it's called a work righteous system, that you can do works and God will take you to heaven because of it.
Such as the things where the Catholics used to make you pay money to let someone be released from purgatory.
An indulgence.
Yes.
Yeah, and these days you can take a trip to France, or you can take communion for 30 days, and then you'll get all of your sins forgiven and have a place assured in heaven. It depends on which type of Catholic you talk to. But
really?
Well, yeah, I'm afraid so. If you travel to Lourdes, it was last year, the time expired, but if you travel to Lourdes, then you could have what they call a plenary indulgence, which means all of your sins can be forgiven.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, indulgences aren't gone. That was one of the big things that they fought about at the Reformation, which happened in the 1500s.
Is this with Martin Luther?
Yeah, he was one of many fellows that basically said, no, there's a different system here. Because Martin Luther sensed something. He felt his guilt. He kept trying to be good. And he kept feeling like, I'm not being good enough, and I've got this burden of guilt, and I'm starting to really resent God because this is a lot of work, and I feel guilty all the time. And so he actually ended up hating God. And then he started reading the book of Romans, and the book said, the just shall live by faith. And he started to understand the doctrine of faith alone, by grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone, which teaches that if a man or a woman will agree with God that they're a very vile, wretched sinner who is worthy of God's condemnation in hell, if he'll come to that agreement with God and say he's sorry to God, in other words, repent, turn from his sins, apologize, say I'm sorry with no defense, and put his trust in Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus preached in Mark 1:15. He came declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So repent and believe in Jesus. And the Bible teaches that if you do that, you surrender to God, he will save you, forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future, because of the work that he did to rescue you. See, if Jesus had just come to this earth and died, you could have your sins, you could be considered not guilty. But Jesus came and lived as a man for 30-some years, keeping all the laws you've broken, fulfilling all the laws, keeping all righteousness, so that if you'll repent and trust him, you'll not just be seen as not guilty. God will see you as righteous. He will actually look at you because of what Jesus did and go, he is my beloved child because of what Jesus did. All sins forgiven. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. No works, no purgatory. In fact, our works have earned us death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace, you can be saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Here's the difference. If you say that you work your way to heaven, and you do, somehow, in any way, shape, or form, you can get there and tell everybody what a good person you were and how you deserved heaven. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you've deserved hell, but Jesus has earned heaven for you, and that way he gets all of the credit for rescuing a wretched sinner like you and me, so that he can get all the praise. We don't get it. He gets all the praise for saving us. That's the good news of the gospel. One is work righteous, the other one is a grace-based system. Complete forgiveness, or sort of forgiveness and works. That's the difference between Catholicism and what I think is biblical Christianity.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does.
Here's what I would beg you to wrestle with, all right? Read the Bible. Don't trust me. I'm a complete stranger. I could be in a cult for all you know. I might be here to, like, beat you up, tase you, and take your money.
Yeah, I know that.
All right? I'm trying to convince you this is what the Bible teaches. So read your Bible and see if what I'm saying is true. Read the book of Romans. Have you ever looked at that book?
Old Testament.
It's a New Testament book. Yeah, Paul wrote it. It's the most important letter ever written. Okay, this is Paul writing to Christians in Rome. And he lays it out this way in Romans chapter 1. We've broken God's laws. We've lived for ourselves. We hate God. We're at war with God. We want to live for ourselves and do what we want. We want to live by the flesh. And for that, he condemns us because we're lawbreakers. But He's rich in mercy. This is a big court case. We're guilty before God. Jesus steps into the courtroom and says, "Judge, set him free." And the judge says, "Wait a second. He's got a fine to pay." And Jesus says, "I paid the fine for him because of what I did." And then you can be set free, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. That's what Romans 3 and 4 explains. And that if you will have faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone, his goodness gets credited to your account. It's a court case so that your court case can be dismissed. Jesus kept the laws for you and took the punishment for you. And now you can be forgiven and granted everlasting life. Read the book of Romans. It's very clear. And you'll that's what Martin Luther, I'm not trying to make you a Lutheran. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not trying to make you a Lutheran. But this is what he said when he discovered the just shall live by faith. You are justified by faith alone. You are made right by faith alone. Faith doesn't save you, by the way. Jesus does. So figure out what's true. Read your Bible. Take a look through Romans and see if what I'm saying is true. Because you can trust the Bible. Don't trust me, but you can trust the Bible.
Well, it usually doesn't take very long for the real issue to come out. Some people trust their goodness. That's a vast majority of these conversations. But the gospel presses on all of that. And that's all the time we have for this week. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.